Thank you all for joining our call today with Jill Faraday Lloyd and Carrie Sheffman. I am Jill Orlando, Relationship Manager with the Champion-Tignon Group. Now, I would like to introduce and hand the call over to Jill Faraday Lloyd, First Vice President, Wealth Management, and Carrie Sheffman, Head of the Women's Segment Group at UBS.
Thank you, Jill, and a warm welcome to Carrie and to all of our listeners. Thank you. I'm Jill Faraday Lloyd, and I'm a partner at the Champion-Tignon Group in UBS Private Wealth. And I'm excited today. I'm excited to talk to Carrie Sheffman every day. We went for a big long walk last night and had a good old time. But it's particularly meaningful to chat with her today as we're on the back of International Women's Day and we're in the middle of Women's History Month. You know, I've been involved in the women's wealth space, well, since it became a thing. And I can say with certainty that UBS was one of the earliest firms to turn their lens towards women investors. And the demographics driving this focus towards women investors are powerful and make it, in my opinion, a great time to be a woman. So here they are. Through women's own wealth generation and a double inheritance windfall from parents and spouses, it's estimated that by the year 2030, women will control 2/3 of our nation's wealth. Let me say that again. By 2030, women will control 2/3 of our nation's wealth. That's a lot of money, and that's just around the corner. Never before have women possessed so much power to create the futures that they want to have. And the question is, are we ready? Are we ready for the opportunities and the responsibilities having that kind of wealth provides? Well, one of the reasons that I'm proud to work at UBS is their commitment to understanding what women investors want and what women investors need. And Carrie and the Own Your Worth team and our CIO office have done significant research to help our female clients succeed at achieving their financial goals. And their work is also helping our UBS advisors to serve our clients better. So Carrie, it is so great to have you here today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Jill. It's great to be back with your team this afternoon.
You've joined our team for a few calls in the past, but I think as a refresher for everyone or anyone who hasn't heard from you before, can you tell us again what the women's segment is and what your team does?
Of course, absolutely. And I'm so happy to be back and joining you again and appreciate being able to join these calls on a regular basis with the Champion-Tignon team. And just to give a little bit of a refresher and a little bit of background about my team and what we do at UBS, the women's segment.
So our team is really focused on the development and implementation of UBS's strategy to address the unique financial needs of women. And our goal is to help women navigate their financial lives and prepare for their financial futures. Again, Jill, in light of all of the tremendous statistics that you referenced earlier around the amount of wealth that women already control and the unprecedented growth that is being predicted around the continued evolution of that wealth that women are on track to control over the next decade. And so we do that through a variety of different ways, developing intellectual capital and research, resources like videos, podcasts, articles, special events, both virtual and hopefully soon in person, as well as educational materials, all tied to the topic of women's financial well-being. And everything that we do is really meant to help women take their seat at the financial table, as we like to say, and support women at that table, helping women to understand their unique financial journey, their goals and needs, and taking into account some of those major trends and demographics so that we can best serve women wherever they may be in their financial lives.
That's great. I commend the work that you do because women, we as women, we have a lot of work to do. And by having this wealth, we need to be in a position to use it wisely. You mentioned your research. I know the team has put out a number of Own Your Worth reports over the last few years, but what are the highlights of the UBS research?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Jill, because I think what you just mentioned about, you know, the work that's still to be done is certainly highlighted in the research that we have done over the last 5 years and speaking with thousands and thousands of women and men here in the U.S. and around the world from all different backgrounds, financial situations, marital status, profession, age, race, ethnicity. Our data has really cut across a very wide and diverse audience to truly understand and try to understand how women approach the major financial decisions in their households and how we can bring more women into the conversation. And so, you know, I mentioned that a lot of what we try to do is understand the trends that impact women. And our research was also shaped by one trend in particular, which is that in the United States, 8 out of 10 women will find themselves in a position where they have to manage their finances on their own at some point in their lives. And so we really tried to understand that better. And what we found, which is pretty surprising, Jill, is that despite the tremendous advances that women are making in so many other areas of society, when it comes to personal finances, there's a large percentage of women who say that they aren't as confident in making those long-term financial decisions. And particularly among women and couples in both heterosexual and same-sex couples, our research has found that about half of women say that they defer the long-term financial decisions and investing decisions to their spouse or partner, despite the fact that in our research with women who have gone through a divorce or who have been widowed, the large majority would urge other women to be more involved in their finances today. So that's really kind of the Own Your Worth research in a nutshell. And I think what's also really important that I'd highlight is that the large majority of both women and men through our research have said that they believe that women's financial participation is critical for us as a society to achieve gender equality, which I think is particularly important to note, you know, on the heels of International Women's Day, as well as, you know, given that it's currently Women's History Month.
I agree. I can't agree more. I find the statistics and the research to be encouraging, but also alarming at times. So let's move on to this new report. There was a report that came out of our chief investment office called Women and Investing, and they did it for Women's History Month. And I know your team didn't write it, but the piece does heavily quote your team's research, and it uses it as a basis for their key hypothesis and findings. You know, what I found most interesting, and vis-a-vis the comments that you just made, was during the pandemic, that in and of itself led more women to take action. And what does that mean, honestly, to take action? It caused more women to actually talk about their long-term finances with their partners. And, you know, I've joked around about this a lot, but some women find it easier to talk about sex than they do about money. And so the fact that they could actually begin the conversation with their partners around long-term financial planning is important. It's a step in the right direction. Anecdotally, I would say I had more women in couples come to me during the pandemic as clients than ever before. So women are starting to lead, and I can say that anecdotally. The second thing that I thought was important to understand is investment risk tolerance. Live longer than men. Women live on average 5 years longer than men, and they marry men on average 2 years older. So they're going to be alive longer. Women live a longer lifetime, and they need their wealth to last a longer lifetime. But according to the research in this piece, women are less comfortable than men taking risk to achieve a good return. 3% of women are comfortable in taking risks to achieve a good return, and 26% of men are. You can see that. You can see the statistic through women's pension allocations. They tend to be allocated to bonds, which are safer. Women are more likely to own annuities because of their fixed returns. But I think what's really important to highlight here, and what we do in the report, it highlights that there's a risk in owning assets that are too safe. By being too safe, women risk falling short of their goals. So by taking less risk, women end up having less of a chance to meet their goals. They're taking on risk. By having less risk, they're taking on risk. And then the third thing, and it didn't really surprise me because, you know, I know this in my soul, and because women tend to be more philanthropic and think holistically, is finding that women favor ESG investing, environmental, social, and governance investing. And the UBS study found that nearly 75% of women take into account sustainable investing when building a portfolio, compared to a little over half for men. So those were a few things that really spoke to me. Anything that you would like to highlight out of that report, Carrie?
I agree completely with you on all of those points in terms of what I thought was most interesting about the report. And what I really liked about the report is that it really emphasized that we as women are a population. We're not a segment. We're not a niche group. We're not a homogenous, you know, sort of monolith, so to speak. And that's really something that, from my team's perspective, has been really foundational since the launch of our team and since we started doing this research, you know, 5+ years ago, is that really understanding that there is no one-size-fits-all approach to serving women, that we as women, just as men, we're each individual person is different. We have different goals, different concerns, different, you know, wishes and dreams for the future, different things that are important to us. And I really liked the report really emphasized that. And so in all of these statistics that we're discussing, it's certainly the majority, but again, every single woman is different. And I like that the report highlighted that. And then I also thought what was great about this report is that it really can help to break down the misperception that exists that we see and hear so often in our research and my travels around the country and meeting with women all over the United States. This misperception, and I know, Jill, you and I have talked about this before, that you have to be an expert to be meaningfully involved in your financial life, that you have to know all the technical stuff, you need to follow the markets closely, read financial newspapers, when in reality, so much of this is about understanding your own life, what you want for the future, who are the people that are most important to you, how to put yourself on track to achieve your goals. And so I really liked that the report talked a lot about that and really emphasizing some of these things that maybe historically, you know, talking about women being maybe more risk averse, really more as positives, right? What are the positive opportunities and implications that we can glean from some of this data, especially things like highlighting, and I know there's been many, many reports over the last few years that have found this, but this latest report highlighted one of them, that actually women outperformed men in the long term and investing outcomes. In one study, the report cited, and in many other studies that I've seen in my work, for a variety of reasons, including that, you know, women tend to trade less often, they display less disposition bias, meaning that they have a lower tendency to sell at market lows, they're more likely to invest for the long term and to achieve goals as opposed to trying to beat or climb the market. And so I think that there's a lot of positives that we can sort of take from this report in terms of how we think about the wealth management and financial services industry and how we can better serve women.
I couldn't agree more. In my experience with my clients, they tend to be way more goals-based, way less trading-oriented. They're not focused on beating benchmarks as much as they're focused on achieving the goals that they set. So the other thing that you talked about was this notion, you know, needing to be absolutely competent at everything in order to be an investor. And we've spoken a little bit about this idea of confidence, investor confidence. You know, as women, we've said that, you know, when a woman is applying for a job, she feels like she needs to have 10 of the 10 criteria before she'll even apply for the position, whereas a guy will apply when he has 6 of the 10. They're more willing to be, it seems, based on that research, more willing to be uncomfortable in the unfamiliar. And part of what we're talking about here is just getting started. But if you get started in really knowing what it is that you're moving towards, that's the best place to be as a woman. What do you think, Carrie?
I completely agree. I really couldn't agree more. And I think that that's a lot of the work that we've done in terms of trying to figure out and explore how we can help meet women where they are in their own financial and investing journey, right? And again, trying to, you know, the research report actually talks about how jargon can be intimidating and it can really turn people off to the, you know, our industry and to investing. And so how can we, all these different things and learnings that we can take from the report, I think can help break down the misperception, bring more women in, but also help us meet women where they are and really understand there may be different approaches, just as each individual person is different. There may be different approaches in terms of how we think about wealth management conversations and financial planning engagements when working with women, taking into account some of these statistics, some of these trends, some of this data. And I think what's fantastic about this report is, and you mentioned, Jill, at the beginning, they used our Own Your Worth UBS research as a basis, but they really brought in research from across the industry, from some of our partners. They brought in research from some of the, you know, top tier consulting organizations. And so there's so much in there that we can then use and that, you know, my team and I can use, that Jill, you and your team can use in terms of really trying to move the ball forward and change the dynamic for the better in terms of how we think about women and wealth and really reimagining wealth advice, which is the name of the report.
One of the things in the report that we talk about is a framework that UBS uses called Wealthway. it's really a good way to engage women regardless of their level of knowledge. And it breaks down, like you said, their financial picture in a way that's applicable to where women are now, where they want to be in the future, and how to think about their legacy. We have, at our team, has always had a unique focus on our clients' lifestyle and any risk to their lifestyle. And the concept is to break down your needs into really three buckets, if you will. The first is liquidity and helping our clients think, how much cash do you need to have on hand to cover expenses for the next 2 to 3 years? Let's put that on the side, because if the stock market goes down, we don't want you to have to sell something at a loss to pay for your lifestyle. So we sort of move that liquidity bucket over to the side. It's clear, we understand it, and it's solid. The second bucket is longevity, and this would represent how much of your assets do you deploy to generate cash flow to achieve your lifestyle goals over the length of your financial plan, over the length of your life. So is this college savings? Is this second home? Is this retirement savings? This is what needs to grow for you, and how much of your total bucket should you put in there to support these future lifestyle needs? And then the third bucket is legacy. And this is for the remaining assets. This is, you know, how do you think about investing those assets for your heirs, or for the causes that are important to you, and supporting them with really smart wealth transfer. And when we break down investing for our clients in this way, it really allows them to see the bigger picture and have less stress in times of market volatility, like we're having right now. Carrie, maybe you can talk a little bit about how we can help clients with the legacy portion of their wealth.
Yeah, Jill, I'm so glad that you mentioned WealthWay, because I think it's such a terrific way of thinking about your wealth in a way and your financial life in a way that's really applicable to you and your own financial journey. Again, rather than thinking about, you know, your own financial life in terms of the market for your investment specifically or your portfolio, it's really about breaking it down to be more relevant and applicable to your own life right now, looking ahead to the future and then beyond, which is really what WealthWay is all about. And it's worth noting, actually, Jill, that in speaking with and in our research with women across the United States, 80% of women thought that leveraging WealthWay was a good financial strategy for them. So the data really is there to speak to why and how this can be really beneficial. And on the legacy piece in particular, you know, I think what's really great is that you and your team, Jill, are able to bring to bear the full breadth of capabilities across UBS to help clients navigate their financial lives and look to the future as well, especially when you take into account the COVID-19 pandemic, some of the societal shifts that have happened, how people are maybe thinking about things differently with the backdrop of the pandemic. And so in the legacy area in particular, it's worth highlighting that at UBS, we have some terrific solutions. Our newly launched Inclusive Investing Group, which is actually part of our robust sustainable investing team, again, addressing some of the key findings of that CIO report that show that women are really focused aligning their wealth with their values. We also have our family advisory and philanthropy services team. I know you've done calls and events with them in the past. They're such a terrific resource for our clients. They help families with wealth conversations and family meetings, with philanthropic and charitable giving efforts and more. And on the topic of charitable giving, we even have our own UBS foundation called the UBS Optimist Foundation, which is focused on children's health, education, and protection around the world. And UBS actually covers all of the administration costs of the foundation, so that donations go directly to the efforts of that organization. And I'd be remiss, actually, not to mention, we actually just launched a Ukraine relief fund in partnership with the Optimist Foundation to try to ensure that we are supporting humanitarian efforts and needs given the worsening crisis. So those are just a few of the examples that we have available that really touch on that legacy bucket, but I would also say they touch on the longevity strategy as well as we think about the future and how we want to align our wealth with our values.
Absolutely. That's what I hear day in and day out. It's a big focus of my clients to invest with their values. So as we celebrate Women's History Month and we look to the rest of 2022, what else can we look for from you and your team?
I'm incredibly excited about 2022 and everything that we're working on. We will be coming out with a new owner worth report later this spring, early summer. And I can't share too much yet, but I will give a little bit of a preview, Jill. The new report is going to look women, wealth, and purpose, and really trying to see how women see the link between being engaged in their wealth and their ability to achieve greater purpose in life, whatever that purpose may be, and trying to understand even some of the things that we've talked about in this call, you know, with the backdrop of COVID and the societal shifts that have taken place over the last 2 years. Are women more committed to affecting positive change and using their money with purpose? And if so, how? And can this be an entry point toward greater engagement for women to take a more active role in their wealth decisions? And then how are women who are engaged in their financial lives and who take an active role in these decisions, how are they paving the way in terms of affecting that positive change? So I'm really excited about that new report. Again, that'll be coming out in late spring, early summer. And then in the meantime, I'd encourage everyone to check out our main website, which is ubs.com/women, ubs.com/women, very easy to remember. That's really our main website where you'll find any new content updates. We actually just had a really exciting feature in Marie Claire magazine highlighting our Own Your Worth research, so you can find that on our website. We also recorded a special video message for International Women's Day and Women's History Month around how we at UBS look at our commitment to women and gender equality through the lens of women's financial inclusion and all of the work that we've done around this Own Your Worth research, and as well as the new global CIO report you can find there that we've been discussing in this call.
That's great. Thank you so much. So from our perspective at the Shan Spantium Group, well, what are we excited about? We want normalcy, frankly. We can't wait for things to get back to normal. But all joking aside, we're excited about our move to a modern new office in Stamford, Connecticut, and we encourage you all to come visit. And we're really looking forward to seeing clients in person again, either at my salon events as well as the other events the team has planned for the year. And on the investment front, we continue to hear how important ESG-minded investments are for our clients, sustainable investments. And we're looking forward to bringing more of that to our clients' portfolios this year. Carrie, anything else you want to add?
No, Jill, I would just say I'm excited to continue to work with you and the Shan Spantium team on everything that you're doing this year and bringing the new research that we're working on to life for you and your team and your clients and prospective clients in new and innovative ways once it comes out this spring. And just really looking forward to everything that we can do together.
Thank you, Carrie. We feel the same way. You guys are rock stars, and we're happy to have you in our corner. And thank you all for listening today. If we can be of any help to you on any issues relating to your personal financial life, please feel free to reach out. Thank you very much. Have a great day.